As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Joining me this week is my co-host, Mamats. Mamats, say what's up to the people.
Booncha, booncha, booncha.
The hell was that?
That is from the torture one.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. In case you don't know what time it is, and if that's the case, why are you not listening to the last show, man? Why are you not listening to the previous show? Go listen to that and then come back here. I'll give you a minute. Think on yet? Think
no? All right,
let's go. All right. So this week it is time once again for our winter season first flash 2024. So if you don't know what the first flash is, where have you been? Welcome to the Shiitake Podcast. First flash is when we take a look at a number, it's always a different number depending on how I feel, a number of different anime that are getting first seasons this year, this season, it is their first season. We look at the very first episode only and give our takes if we think this is going to be a flop or if this is going to be a badass show. All based on one episode.
Well, I never said,
well did you pull me in? So we've got 16 shows for this season. 16! And I think there's only one isekai in the list. Maybe two.
There's plenty of them, but I don't know.
No, I mean as far as like for this list. I tried to cut it down. I tried to get us some good variety here. So
yeah.
I think we got like maybe one, maybe two isekai, and that's it. But don't get me wrong, there's some weird stuff this season, man. I might need to talk to a therapist. Nah, who am I kidding? That's why I got y'all.
Nah. Okay.
That's why we got y'all. That's why we got y'all. So y'all can suffer with me. It's fine. I'm healthy. Says me.
Says you. Says you who's in pain.
Says me. Yeah, I haven't been tainted by the powers of anime for the last 20, 30 years. All right, guys. Without further ado, let's dive into this list of 16 shows. We're going to be naming the show. We're going to read the synopsis. We're going to give a score. And then we're going to talk about pros and cons of the show. We're not going to go deep like we do with our normal reviews. It's going to be a very light take on the first episode, unless it was really bad, and then we may go for a minute. But, hey, we'll see how it goes, and was the first episode any good?
Yeah.
So, starting off our list for the 2024's winter season is Chained Soldier, Mato Seihen no Slave. I had heard nothing about this show, when I read the synopsis, I was like, okay, this sounds interesting, but this one was a banger. All right, so synopsis for this one, I'm going to say this once so I don't have to say it again. All of our synopses are coming from MyAnimeList.net, okay? I'm not saying it again.
Mm-hmm.
So the synopsis for this one goes like this. After his high school graduation, Yuki Wakaru realizes it has been 5 years since his sister's disappearance during a Mato disaster. Throughout Japan, mysterious entrances have opened to a dimension called Mato, a demonic metropolis filled with disastrous monsters known as the Shuki that threaten the safety of humans. However, a new hope arose as the discovery of a Mato fruit that grants supernatural abilities exclusively to women allowed them to fight against the Shuki. Due to this, a new matriarchal government was formed, establishing a female organization called the Anti-Demon Corps, which calls men to fall to the bottom of society. When Yuki suddenly finds himself in Mato, he is unable to escape on his own. But just as he anticipates a gruesome end by the Shuki, a girl in a militia outfit appears and protects him. As the chief of the 7th unit of the Anti-Demon Corps, Kyoko Yuzen is ambitious yet devalued by her own peers due to her power being deemed unusual. Now in a life-or-death situation, Kyoka takes the opportunity to find out the true potential of her superpower by using Yuki. In order to defeat the Shuki, he has to become her slave. That is a synopsis for Chained Soldier from MyAnimeList.net. Mamats, what did you score this show?
I would give it a 6.5. How about you, man?
Honestly, I'm going to give this one a 7.
All right.
So this show is definitely... I don't know if I'm going to say 100% unique. We've seen the trope of women soldiers when the men can't fight. We've seen it with like Freezing and a number of other shows. I think we've seen other shows where like there's like the whole like gate aspect where you can suddenly wind up in like the other world and all that stuff. I think I've seen that a number of times. Maybe I've seen it a lot in webtoons and mangas. So I wouldn't say anything about it is unique. I think so far the power is the most unique aspect. Because her slave ability so far as we've seen it is just to take the Shuki, and she can basically control one of them and make it move and do what she wants and obey her commands. But the problem is that none of them are really can do what she wants them to do. So she apparently has never tried it on a human before. And yeah. She decides that, yeah, this is the time I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it on a human today. And then he ends up being this like uber badass like creature that she can control.
Now, I mean, I guess her power, the boy is compatible with her. And yeah, every time she uses her power, after it's done being enslaved, I guess, she needs to give some sort of reward. Or maybe she was forced to, or maybe it is the side effect of the power.
Without so according to her, I guess. According to her dialogue, yeah. According to her dialogue, she has to give a reward that is of equal value to the effort given.
I don't know how they account for that one. How do you think?
I have no idea.
Equal value, but still.
I have no idea how they determine what that value is. Because apparently with the Shuki, all she has to do is give them cuts of meat.
Yeah, pork cutlet,
or at least in the translation, it was cuts of meat, but it might have been pork cutlet. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But with Yuki, on the other hand, she basically ends up making out with him against her will, like not that he forced her, but her body just kind of started doing things on its own. So,
she knows about it. But yeah, she cannot control her body.
Well, she knows it's going on, but this is the first time it's ever happened because she's only ever enslaved the Shuki before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as they get back, she basically hires him to be her, like her caretaker, and then work as her her quote unquote slave, because that's what her power calls it. When time comes to fight, immediately upon getting back to base camp, she just starts treating him like shit. All the girls just start treating him like shit.
Of course. This is like the typical harem stuff, you know. But in the end,
this is not typical harem stuff. This is typical harem, tsundere harem stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, in the end, I mean, all of them will fall in love with this guy. You know that, right?
Probably.
And we haven't seen any of the girls' powers yet. I think.
No, we did. We saw all their powers.
Oh, we did. I didn't remember that.
So the four girls that we've met so far are, hold on, I'm trying to find the list. Kyoka, she's the main character. She's the captain. Her power is slave, so she can, I think she touches someone and can make them her slave. And that's how she got, that's how she teamed up with Yuki. You've got Himari, who can basically turn her hands into guns. You've got Shushu, who can basically, she's basically Mount Lady. She can grow. And then you have Nei, who is basically your recon. She can basically scan an area for whatever you're looking for.
All right.
And those are all the members of her squad. But there are other squads out there.
Yes, there are other squadron, and God only knows how chaotic this world can be. I mean, all of the Demon Corps members are all girls, right? Men aren't allowed to become one or something.
Men are not allowed to join the Corps, no.
Yeah, because only the girls has the power to fight the demon, I guess. Yeah.
Well, no, so they're the only ones that the Peach Fruit will give powers to.
Ah, all right. So,
now, I do have a problem with the show.
All right.
So
get it out, man.
It's simple. Well, no, it's a small gripe, but it's a simple one too. They did it with the dialogue, which was stupid. So it said that only the girls can fight, right?
Yeah.
So we see that Kyoka fights with a sword. So she fights with a sword, cutting these fools in half left and right. Yeah. Cool, right? You think, oh,
Yes.
that's part of the Peach Power. It's not.
It is not. It is
It's
not a
not part of the
power.
Peach Power.
Yep.
It's not, meaning that she is a that her baseline power, she can use a cord, a sword to cut through a shuki.
Yes.
That means that technically a man, if they did not, if without the powers, could fight a shuki with a sword. Because they specifically say that's not part of her powers. So it's not as if the sword, like the fruit, gave her great strength and that's why she can kill them. No, the fruit has nothing to do with her ability to fight them with a sword. It is purely her skill and hard work.
Yes.
So it makes no sense that men can't fight the Shuki.
Yes, but it isn't reliable because not everyone will pour out the hard work it to make you strong enough to fight Shuki, right? I mean, look at the Shuki. They are very strong and powerful, and you cannot just rely on the swordsmanship to fight with them, I
Well, no,
guess.
you're right. You're right. But in a war of, hey, we have a foe that we can't completely wipe out. We need all the fighters we can get, kind of situation, which this would classify as. You wouldn't say, well, some of you may die, so we're only going to rely on the women. No, they would still have dudes fighting with swords. They would use any means at their disposal.
I mean, it is still a mystery, I guess, the Mato part, the other dimension part. But we will see. I mean, so far it is okay. The fight is okay. If you are into ecchi, this is quite your ballpark, I guess.
Hey,
In
the
the first
Echi was
episode,
light. It
it's
was light.
starting light. The makeup session is a bit outrageous in the first episode. I guess it will escalate from now on till the end. Who knows? I don't know. But
Yeah, we'll
yeah.
see, have to see how bad it gets.
Yes. All right, let's move on.
All right, we're gonna move on to the next show from the list. So the next one is one we actually meant to watch and review, what, 2 seasons ago?
Yeah, last season, yeah.
Was it last season? I thought it was the season before that.
Nah, last season.
So this is Delicious in Dungeon, aka Dungeon Meshi. The synopsis for this one goes like this. After the Golden Kingdom is sunk underground by an insane magician, its king emerges, promising all of his treasure to any who defeat the magician, before crumbling to dust. Guilds are spurred on by this promise, traversing the labyrinth dungeon in search of the magician. Laos, the leader of one such guild, encounters a dragon that wipes out his entire party and devours his sister Fallen. Despite having lost the entirety of their supplies and belongings, Laos, along with Marcille, an elven healer, and Chilchuck, a halfling thief, immediately re-enter the dungeon, determined to save Fallen. Time being of the essence, Laos suggests the taboo of eating the monsters of the dungeon as a means of gathering supplies. Upon the preparation of their first meal in the dungeon, they are stopped by an onlooking dwarf named Senshi, an enthusiast of monster cooking. He helps them prepare their monster ingredients for safe consumption. After learning Laos' circumstances, Senshi expresses his desire to cook a dragon and joins their guild, thus beginning their food-filled foray into the dungeon together. That is the synopsis for Delicious in Dungeon. Amats, what did you score this show?
Okay, I will give it like 5.5.
Okay, I'm on the same page as you. I'm going 5.5 on this one. I like the premise.
For a food anime, this is not great.
Okay, wait. What criteria are you basing that against? Because you're saying for a food anime. So let's preface this. So you're saying for a food anime. The food anime we've seen in the past, so animes that have centered around food, were
Yes.
either battle anime like Bento Box, or are cooking competitions slash ecchi shows like Food
Food
Wars,
Wars. restaurant like, in another world, campfire cooking.
Restaurant in another world. So we can't really use like a food anime as a criteria, because the food part is always a subcategory. And all of those other shows are completely different from the primary category. Food Wars being a battle anime, Bento Box being a battle anime, but not a battle of food, but a battle to get food. Restaurant Another World, a slice of life. So this show being an adventure anime, it's hard to compare them. To compare all these food anime based on the fact that they're food related, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but they pretty much like highlighted the food aspect of it in the center, right? Look at the title, Delicious in Dungeon, right? So I guess the food is the main aspect of it, and they didn't highlight the food aspect in a great way, in the best way possible, in my opinion. Whenever they enjoy the food, it just, oh, this tastes good. That's it. It doesn't emphasize
the... What are you expecting? What are you expecting? Are you expecting Food Wars clothes being blown off?
Not really, but like really emphasize the greatness of the taste, right? Like the campfire cooking one or restaurant in another world one. You know, like really emphasize the taste of the food when they tasting it. I want to see that. Not just how to prepare the food, what is the etiquette and how to prepare stuff.
But you know? the point of it is not to show that the food in the dungeon is the greatest food ever and no one knows about it. It's just that, hey, look at all the crazy things you can make with the creatures in the dungeon. Like we've had conversations like this before where people talk about like in the Pokemon universe, you notice there's no food. There are no animals other than Pokemon. But we know that they eat meat. So they eat Pokemon, and no one talks about it. So we've had conversations like that where they gloss over the fact of food being derived from creatures. There were two shows that we've watched in the past that I'm trying to remember that they specifically showed this. One was, what was it? Where it was an isekai where he would like kill monsters and they would do drops, and he had like top tier drops. Dang it. What was that
show? I mean, all of isekai is like that.
No. Like he literally wakes up and he's got a chick with a hammer who takes him under her wing.
Oh, that one.
Eventually gets the twin guns and all that.
I'm super strong even at level one or something like that.
Something like that. It's
yes. We just reviewed that one too.
We did. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. Oh, my unique skill makes me OP even at level one.
Yes, that
so
one.
So there's that show. There was another show where they literally talked about like killing monsters, where they kill monsters to make food. I think that was campfire cooking. Where like he like grills up like orcs and stuff.
Yes.
That wasn't campfire cooking. He could buy stuff from the store. No, he could buy stuff from the store.
Yeah, usually
his skill gave him a store. There was a different one where like they would like kill orcs and things and that would make like pork. Or they would kill goblins and that would make chicken and stuff like that.
That is campfire cooking.
So we've seen it. That wasn't campfire cooking.
That is.
That was not campfire cooking.
Remember that the Fafnir always killing all the legendary animal and just bring the food or bring the ingredients
for him? Yeah, I remember that. But I don't remember. Maybe there's two like that. I don't remember. I don't want to dwell on that part because it's not important.
Yeah. That is campfire cooking.
I know campfire cooking did something like that, but I think there was another one that did something similar where like they would just start like killing it and then they like the dude didn't want to eat it. It wasn't campfire cooking. I'm almost positive there was a different show that had a similar idea, but that's neither here nor there. The cooking on the show, it's much more like not basic, but I guess real world. Because in other, like, instead of being like, hey, this thing is secretly delicious and it's the greatest food in the world, it's, hey, we need to survive in the dungeon. Well, why don't we just eat the stuff in the dungeon? I don't know how to cook it. Oh, let me show you how to cook the stuff in the dungeon. And it's very slice of lifey like that. Like that aspect, the food aspect is very slice of life. And it was like, well, you take this, you do it like this, and then you cook it like this, and this is really good. It's not like Food Wars, where it's like naked from eating food. So, but the problem is the parts that aren't about the cooking are very boring.
Yes. I mean, this is D&D, man. Right?
It's D&D, but it's boring.
Yeah.
D&D is not supposed to be boring. I play D&D. D&D is not boring. This is boring.
Yeah, they really like have to rely on the comedy bit of the show to survive, in my opinion.
Yeah, but because the comedy gets stale so quick.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I said if they emphasizing the taste of the food, I think this show would have like a higher score, in my opinion. It would be like better show overall, even though the whole adventure part of it is boring, you know. But it is
for
too
me,
bad.
It's more about the female, the elfin healer. She's very boring and cliche as a character. Yes. I'm hoping that she gets better. If she does, the show can get better. But the interactions need to be better. The interactions need to get better between the characters. That's what's bringing the show down for me.
I really love the dwarf guy, though, despite everything. But yeah.
Oh, no, the dwarf is the best character. He's the best character in the show.
Yeah, yes, but yeah, we need to move on from this one to Batman.
Okay, moving on. Fine, it's mad because I'm right. All right, number three, we've got Hokkaido Gals Are Super Adorable, aka Dosanko Gal Waranamara Menkoi.
All right,
yeah, the synopsis on this is like two sentences. High school boy Tsubasa moves to Kitami City up in Hokkaido, where he meets a gal at a bus stop. The sight of her standing alone against the white snowscape, bare-legged, despite the freezing cold, captures his heart. That's kind of it. what's your score for this one, bro?
I like this one. I would give it like 6.5.
See, I'm stuck between a 6.5 and a 7 on this one.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it for sure.
Yes, this is super cute. It, it has the what is the show that we reviewed that we like?
That's a lot of shows, bro.
The girl that is really quiet, almost mute, I guess.
That was let me go down the list. This is getting harder to go through this list too.
Yes, that's a lot. We are really like over 150 episodes by this time.
Yeah, this list is getting long. It's not Uzaki-chan.
Not Uzaki.
Not Vermeil. Not Miracle. Not Aki-kan. Not Shield Hero. Aharen-san,
yes. This is the vibe of Aharen-san.
I disagree. I totally disagree. This is not an Aharen-san vibe. This is not an Aharen-san vibe. Not at all. This is, oh God, I know we've reviewed like two gal shows in the past.
My girlfriend is a gyaru? My first girlfriend?
My girlfriend is a gal. Mm. Yeah, but my girlfriend is a gyaru, and then there's one other one. Because my girlfriend is a gyaru, that's the one with the blonde. And then there was the one with the girl, the super tan, short one with black hair. Where she was, like, constantly teasing him.
Oh, Nagatoro.
Nagatoro. This one definitely gives me the my girlfriend is a gyaru vibe. It's definitely giving off that vibe. Mm. Huh?
But the girl in here is, how should I put it?
She's more innocent. She's innocent.
She's innocent and she lacks the social cue, I guess.
Yeah, she doesn't understand social cues.
Yes. By the looks of it, she doesn't have any friend.
Judging from this, we haven't seen her have friends, but I don't think that's the case. I think they just haven't introduced them yet. But she definitely doesn't. She lacks modesty. Running around in like skimpy clothes, and
she is very modest, but she doesn't know.
No. I mean, when it comes to her dress.
Yeah.
When it comes to her clothing. She's got no issues dressing any kind of way in front of anybody, regardless of time or temperature.
She just invited him, like what? After 2 days of knowing this guy, and girls, and got no one at home too.
At home, walking around half naked, falls asleep on the couch.
Yep. But this is super cute. I think I will watch this one, regardless. Yeah,
this one's definitely on my radar.
Yeah.
It's definitely on my list of shows to watch. It's just too adorable.
Yeah.
I have to.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on to number four?
Yes,
four. I'm not reading the Japanese title for this one because the English title is already too fucking long. My instant death ability is so overpowered, no one in this world stands a chance against me.
That is the synopsis.
That's basically it. But for the sake of clarity, here's the synopsis. Awakening to absolute chaos and carnage while on a school trip, Yogiri Takato discovers that everyone in his class has been transported to another world. He had somehow managed to sleep through the entire ordeal himself, missing out on the gift. Powers bestowed upon others by a mysterious sage who appeared to transport them. Even worse, he and another classmate were ruthlessly abandoned by their friends, left as bait to distract a nearby dragon. Although not terribly bothered by the thought of dying, he reluctantly decides to protect his lone companion. After all, a lowly level 1000 monster doesn't stand a chance against the secret power to invoke death with a single thought. If he can stay awake long enough to bother using it, that is. That's the synopsis for...
Okay.
My instant death ability is so overpowered, no one in this world stands a chance against me. For fuck's sake with these titles, bro.
Oh my god. All right. I will give it a 6, man.
I'm going a 5 on this one.
All right. That's fair. That is very fair.
Yeah.
Despite everything that they have set up, I don't know what to say about this one. It is not boring, but most of the time, it is just stupid, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, some of the classmates has already like been here for a couple of times, I guess.
But yeah, they said they were here once before.
Yeah. And they have already awakened their gifts and has leveled up quite significantly to an S rank, I guess. But this guy already has this kind of power in the real world, right? That is the real world,
yes,
right?
That is power from the real world.
Yeah. So that is the only mystery that this guy has. He has already has his instant death power, and he was isekai'd into this another world by the I don't know that what was to call her. Wicked Sage, I guess. So, yeah.
I don't know. My issues with the show are, there's a couple of them for me. One, she start blowing up people's heads. Nobody freaks the fuck out. Nobody.
Yes.
Nobody freaked out.
That too?
And no. There's not like screaming. There's no crying. There's no like trying to jump out a window. Everybody's just like, no, what did you do? Completely unbelievable reaction. Okay, I understand this is an anime, but come on now.
Yeah,
no one freaked the fuck out the way they should in that scene. Two, yes, she had friends, like apparently 3 of the classmates had been there before.
We don't know if first thought it is just that 3. We don't know, maybe all of them. Who don't
know? All we know so far is this, but here's my issue. How was your first thought after running away to come back, resurrect your friend as a fucking zombie, and smash? The fuck, sir?
I don't know, man.
The whole ass fuck.
So far, again, yeah.
How your whole class just instantly go turn evil?
Yes.
How everybody just turn evil? Just instantly.
I mean, the two that aren't chosen or doesn't have any power, just that, just like that. There's no drama or anything like that, I guess. And this one chick just staying around. At first, she's all over the place too. She's panicking and stuff, and then she's just okay, just accepting everything that happened.
Oh, I guess it's fine. It's okay, I guess. The fuck, man.
And then she asked this guy, why did you save me? Let's see. Oh, when you like run into me and hug me, your boob are so off. Yeah. That's it. All right.
Yeah, I mean the show has some issues. Definitely yeah. Has some issues.
I don't know where they are going after that, after this point. But so far, this one is dumb. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. All right, moving on to number five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5. The Witch and the Beast. Majo no Yaju.
Majo to Yaju.
Yeah. Gado, a feral girl with long fangs and the eyes of a beast. Ashaf, a soft-spoken man with delicate features and a coffin strapped to his back. This ominous pair appears one day in a town that's enthralled to a witch, who has convinced the townsfolk she's their hero. But Ashaf and Gado know better. They have scores to settle, and they won't hesitate to remove anyone in their way.
That's it?
I guess that's the synopsis. I mean, that's not much of a synopsis. Yeah. apparently, they hunt evil witches. They hunt evil witches. That's what's going down.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. I don't know why that was the synopsis. What did you score this show, bro?
I would give it 6.5.
I'll give it a 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 6.
All right. So this involved like girls making out in a way.
Wait. No, that wasn't really making out. She kissed her. But it wasn't like it wasn't no tongue.
Okay.
That was like lips on lips and that was it.
To undo her curse, I guess. She was originally a beast, I guess. And then she was cursed and becomes like a human girl or something like that. Permanently. And then she wants revenge. And she's going to find the witch that curses her, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's looking for the witch that cursed her so she can undo the curse. It's, yeah. I mean, the premise is okay. I wasn't super stoked with the execution. Nothing really grabbed me in the show.
It is a little bit gory in a way. When the witch is like doing a ritual to summon to undo the hellfire or something like that.
I mean, there was blood, but it wasn't gory.
Okay.
Like you saw bloods and like there were limbs that were gone, but like you didn't see him like hacking away or anything like that. I wouldn't call it gory.
All right. But I guess the fight between the witch and the beast is okay. All the magics are involved in there. It's an okay show.
it was all right. I'm not like I gotta watch this. No, it's just me.
It's okay. It's just okay. There's nothing too wrong about the show other than that. She needs to kiss the witch to undo her power. That's it.
Yeah.
Without that, she's just powerless, I guess. And she has to realize.
Well, apparently, she can't die.
Yeah, I mean, she's a beast, right? So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's the deal with the guy. Maybe just the guy is just tagging along, and I don't know. From the looks of it, he looked like the guy from Black Butler. Some beast.
No. Don't disrespect Sebastian like that. How dare you, sir? How dare you, sir? You gonna have all the Sebastian stands coming after us. No, don't do that. Don't do that, sir.
All right. Well,
we're gonna move on.
Yeah. All right. We're
gonna move on to the next one.
Okay.
Next, we've got the wrong way to use healing magic. Chi maho no machigata tsu kaikata. Okay. Synopsis of this one is, Ken Yusato is a normal high schooler in every sense of the word. Average grades, dreams, and a tendency to dislike extraordinary people. However, when he encounters the president and the vice president of the student council, both popular and extraordinary, he immediately befriends them. All of this is interrupted when Ken's new friends are summoned into another world and he accidentally gets summoned as well. Dejected with no way to return, he resigns himself to staying quietly in the new world until he finds out he has an affinity for healing magic, a very rare form of magic which gives him both self-confidence and attention of all mages. However, not all attention is good, which is something Ken realizes when he is noticed by a crazy fellow healing magic user. That's the synopsis for the wrong way to use healing magic. What'd you score this one, man?
All right, six and a half. This is kind of like a Rising Shield Hero in some ways.
I wouldn't call it Shield Hero. I'm gonna give it 5.5.
Okay.
I
mean, he has the rare power. Even though he wasn't supposed to be summoned there. And
yeah, but Shield Hero, they all have rare powers. But the Shield Hero is supposed to be like a loser. So.
I don't know about being a loser, but he. Yeah, secretly has a very rare power, I guess.
My problem with this show so far is the comedy was okay. My biggest problem, you don't know nothing about healing magic in the first episode.
I mean, yeah, this is one
we
of those
see
that
healing magic.
We haven't seen anything just yet.
Nothing. I can't say nothing happened. A lot happened in the first episode. You introduced the characters. They got summoned to the new world. You discovered all their powers. But we know nothing about why healing magic is so, like, why it's rare. We don't know why Rose is fucking crazy. Yeah. We know this bitch turned into fucking Goku when she found out that he had healing magic, and bitch started acting like Goku looking for a fight. Like, couldn't nobody stand in her way, okay? And then she snatches him up and runs off to, like, her secret training facility, and you got a bunch of random, like, delinquent-looking motherfuckers in there, and they're just like, look like they would eat him soon as they, like, rather than say hello. And then it's confusing. Nothing has happened. We don't know what's going on yet at all.
Yeah, they have like the dedicated rescue team for some reason.
Yeah, and they call them the rescue team. Why are you called the rescue team?
So that must be something. Rose is a healing mage, I guess. And by the looks of it, healing magic can be used in some other weird ways. Yeah.
We know nothing about anything so far. That's my problem with the show. Nothing was this, like, other than, hey, here's the characters. They're in a new world. They got light magic. They got thunder magic. He got healing magic. And then this bitch gets kidnapped. That's all we know.
Rose,
that's literally all you. That's the whole first episode.
Rose is reminded me of that one lady from Black Clover, the fire lady one. I don't know.
Mara Leona.
Yes.
Mara Leona.
Yes.
That's exactly who she's like. That is exactly who she's like. that vision is right, sir. Spot on.
Yes.
Spot on.
That's why I hesitate to give it like a high score, but still, I enjoy that character at least.
I would not be against upping the score once I see more. It could go either way right now. It just wasn't enough for me to be like, yeah, I like it, I don't like it. I will probably give it the full 3-episode treatment and then form an opinion. But as of right now, 5.5.
Yeah. I mean, even the main character, the girl, is very stoked on like going to the Isekai. I mean, even though she's a president council or something like that, she's secretly a nerd, I guess.
Oh, that bitch is a total weeb. She is a total weeb.
The other guy just doesn't care and want to go home. Oh my god. All right, we will see what happens next. Who knows?
We'll have to wait and see. Yeah. All right, coming up next, oh lordy, we've got Gushing Over Magical Girls, Maho Shoujo no Akogarete.
Oh.
Oh lord, okay. Hiragi Utena has always looked up to magical girls and fantasized about transforming into a cool heroine who fights evil. So when a doll-like figure approaches her one evening, claiming that she has magical power lying dormant within, she trembles in excitement. But her colorful dream is quickly shattered in an ironic turn of events when she transforms into a villain. Disinterested in associating with the forces of evil, she tries to quit when a group of magical girls appear and declare war. A battle ensues, and Hiragi soon discovers that she enjoys inflicting pain on others as her true nature starts to emerge. Maho Shoujo Diakogarete follows Hiragi as she begins her new life as the leader of villains, fighting against magical girls, indulging in her newfound sadistic nature to her heart's content.
Oh my.
I had a, like, I had heard this show was gonna be one of them. I was not prepared. I was not prepared for what I was gonna see. What did you score this show, sir?
I would give it 7.5. This is the best one ever, man. I love this one. God. When you say guilty pleasure, this is the one. This is the guilty pleasure.
This is a guilty pleasure anime, yeah. Absolutely. Best I can give it a 6.5.
All right, let's start. This girl really adored the magical girl, all right? Magical girl in this world is like a superhero, all right? Everyone knows about the magical girl, yeah. They have the merch and stuff. It's everything. Like, they are like an idol. So this girl will adore them. And one day, she just thought to herself, would it be great if I can become just like them? And then this black cat just appeared. And do you want to become one? And then the cat just transformed her into one without her consent, I guess, in a way. And she becomes one. And
she does not become a magical girl. She becomes a supervillain.
Yeah, the transformation sequence is just funny.
Like, she goes, like, you think you're, like, she's expecting a Sailor Moon type transformation sequence with a Sailor Scout outfit. Nah, yeah. This bitch winds up in a waist cincher, black stockings, panties, and some fucking pasties.
Oh my god. It's supposed to be like a very cool transformation sequence, but it is just, oh my. And then comes the magical girls. The first act, the first ever thing that this girl do to the magical girl is just
she turns a flower into a minion. It grows into a giant flower plant with tentacles.
Yes.
See where this is going. captures the girls in the tentacles. The plants start doing very naughty planty things to the girls.
Yeah.
There is. It does not go into full like H territory. It is H
adjacent. No.
But then, she tells the plant, she tells the girls to stick their butts out. The plant makes them do it, and then she proceeds to beat their asses literally with a riding crop till they are red and rosy. Then, as the girls, one of the girls, it fades out. Come to find out that the girls escaped at the last second, and she flees.
Yeah.
So the girl, oh, mind you, here's the kicker. They're all in the same school. Yeah. One of the girls is, no, they're all in the same class.
Kind of,
so this magical, they're in the same class. They are actually in the same class. The magical girls then go to class, and every time, they show you that the girls, try to sit down, and all of a sudden their butts ache. Or they try, someone walks by and pats her on the butt for, a good game, and then she falls over in pain, and she's just like, are you okay? She's like, I'm fine.
the reveal, yes.
Then the second one, there were two attacks in the first episode.
Yeah, two attacks, yes.
They get summoned to an abandoned factory. It's a mannequin factory. The mannequins capture the girls, start ripping clothes, but they don't go there. No. They rip the sleeves off their clothes, just the sleeves, and their shoes, and proceed to tickle torture the girls. Then the Hinagi gets she's tempted by the evil little rabbit. Hold on, what the fuck is the rabbit's name? Ventolina tempts her, and he's like, don't you want to get involved? And she's like, yes. And she walks over and starts tickling the girls herself. And she's like, your skin is so smooth. And it's like, this is going really creepy, really quickly. This show is something else entirely.
Yeah. And they are all middle school girls or something like that. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, and to make it worse, there is an uncensored version out there for you as well. For some of you. Extra pervy people.
Uncensored how? Tell me.
Well, as far as I saw it, it was nipples.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my. All right. But still, I love this one despite everything. I know I wasn't supposed to like this show as much as I should, but like I said, guilty pleasure. It is funny. It's it's a parody of the magical girl, the typical magical girl stuff. All right. So yeah, I enjoy this one. I don't know if we are going to make this a final flash. I doubt it. We might get in trouble if we do. I don't know, but yeah. I will just watch this one myself, I guess. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, okay, moving on. Moving way the fuck on. All right, next up we've got Tales of Wedding Wings. Kekkon Yubiwa Monogatari. Synopsis is, Sato has been in love with his childhood friend and neighbor Hime ever since she and her grandfather appeared out of nowhere 10 years ago. Now, a dazzling yet mysterious high school beauty, she makes it more and more difficult for him to confess his feelings. As the anniversary of their first meeting is nearing, will he muster up his courage to transform their friendship into something more? Or will an entirely different fate await this tightly bonded pair? Mamats, what did you score this one, bro?
I will give it a 6.
You give it a 6?
Yes.
I'll ride the 6 train. Ride the 6 train. Now, so, this show was good. The show was good.
At first, I think it's okay. With the like alien kind of stuff, she appears like an alien. She appears like an alien. The first meet, I guess, the first encounter, and then the whole high school life, and they were actually secretly in love with each other. I guess, and then after 10 years or something, she needs to get back to her own world. for some reason. And the boy cannot, I guess, accept that she's going away, I guess, tomorrow, the next day after. And he decided to go after the girl and ended up in her world as well. And I guess witnesses that she's going to marry with another guy or prince, I guess. And he crashes the wedding ceremony, I guess. And then a monster starts to pop up and attacking the girl. And then comes the whole wedding ring stuff. That is when I think the show just becomes a little bit cringy in a way, I guess. What do you think, Sharon?
I don't know about cringy. It was definitely a little... It was edgy heavy after they get to the new world. It could be good. It all depends on where they go from here. It's definitely going to be a... From average to world's strongest kind of situation where he just winds up with a bunch of waifus.
Arifureta.
It's definitely gonna be that kind of show. The intro showed you that, and then the whole concept of like the ring lets him use the light power, but only if they're tightly bonded. I'm definitely getting Arifureta vibes from this, but we're gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah. There's like the usual political between kingdoms involved in here too. So yeah, there will be like another kingdom that just want to attack or kidnap the girl or something like that, and just steal the wedding ring or yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it with the show just yet.
It's really gonna depend on where they go from here.
Yeah.
I'm down for like a standard 3-episode kind of thing, and then I'll judge after that.
I mean, at first it is super great. Watching their relationship like blooming, I guess. And then it's just like I'm in love with you, and it's just kiss, and you know, I will marry you, kind of like that, and just all right, okay. All right, let's move on.
All right, going on to the next one, we've got Ishura. In a world where the Demon King has died, a host of demigods capable of felling human have inherited the world. A master fencer who can figure out how to take out their opponent with a single glance. A lancer so swift they can break the sound barrier. A wyvern rogue who fights with 3 legendary weapons at once. An all-powerful wizard who can speak thoughts into being. An angelic assassin who deals instant death. Eager to attain the title of true hero, these champions each pursue challenges against formidable foes and spark conflicts amongst themselves, the battle to determine the mightiest of the mighty heroes. That is the synopsis for Ishida.
So the synopsis just revealed them all, I guess.
Pretty much, and it has really nothing to do with the first episode at all.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. So... all right, I will give it a 7. I enjoy this one. This one is a bit gory and a bit crazy at the same time. I enjoy the characters. I enjoy the characters.
Yeah, I mean, I'll rock a 6.5. I was really weighing on that 0.5. I'll give it a 6.5. Yeah, it seems unnecessarily gruesome.
Yeah.
Because, like, the show starts off super peaceful, super chill. Like, hey, can you show me how you do your type of magic? Because I really want to learn. You're really good. Yeah, and you start seeing it like these two are falling in love with one another in the first episode. Yeah. All of a sudden, fade to black. Fade back in, chaos and carnage. The girl that you were following is over here. The girl that she was starting to fall in love with is over on the ground, getting torn apart limb by limb by a random ass robot.
Golem, I guess.
And I don't mean like, oh, here's like, she's in parts already. No, I mean, she is screaming and the robot grabs an arm, steps on her back, and pulls. Yeah. Yeah. Grabs a leg and pulls and dismembers her bit by bit.
Mm-hmm.
Drives the girl insane. It's something else.
The girl is at her last leg, I guess. And then comes this guy out of nowhere with a sword. Asking around, do you have some food? I have this ration bread or something. Let's make a deal. I will defeat the giant robot, I guess, like a titan or some sort. And you will give me the food. And this dude just running towards the robot and start slashing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. And we're not talking like, oh, it's like 6 feet tall. No, the robot is like 200 stories tall.
Yeah.
What a giant can't. Imagine Gypsy Danger from Pacific Rim.
Or maybe Colossal Titan or something. Yeah.
I say Gypsy Danger because Gypsy Danger also has that chest cannon thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is kind of the robot that he's facing. And
he just runs up one arm, runs up the other arm, and starts cutting away. And the fight was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It was a beautifully choreographed fight scene. It was beautifully animated. Yes.
The explosion and stuff is very well done. Yeah.
But the story part of it just wasn't pulling me in. That was my problem.
I think the girl is still in trauma and she started to hit like the strong individual, I guess. Because
yeah, like it's his fault.
Yeah. I mean,
and she, I'm not saying like that, like, oh, I'm assuming. No, she literally believes it's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he showed up. That and the creature woke up because he was coming.
Because of the strong guy there. That is why the whole dungeon just awakened, I guess. The whole world is like a dungeon. Some sort of like it's alive, I guess. And
well, no, there's like apparently the dungeon that they would go into was apparently a giant robot.
Yeah. Something like that. And this dude is from another world. And comes to this world to become a hero or champion or something like that. We will see more from the synopsis stated, I guess. We will see more of this kind of champions. And we will see their encounter to each other, I guess. And I guess this girl will follow them along towards the adventure and secretly want to kill them all. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy the story so far. I think this is one of the contender for our Final Flash, in my opinion.
Oh, I highly disagree.
You highly disagree?
All right, I will watch the first three episodes, then I'll judge the Final Flash, but so far it's not first Final Flash material. Not for me.
Not for you, okay. All right. That's fair. So, let's move on.
All right, so we are, number, I think, 10. Halfway there. One, two,
more than
number 10?
Number 10.
Oh, thank God. So many shows this season, dude, and I had to narrow it down. Mm-hmm. Okay, this one, Metallic Rouge. In a world where humans and androids coexist, Rouge is an android girl who is on a mission on Mars with her partner, Naomi. The mission is to murder 9 artificial humans who are hostile toward the government. I'm going to tell you right now, none of that shit came up in the show.
Yes. To be honest, I fall asleep midway through this one.
I can understand that. I might have did that if I wasn't watching it on my lunch break. And I this one's very fresh in my memory. I watched it today. Like,
oh, you watched it today?
8 hours ago. I watched it 8 hours ago. Mm. This didn't say nothing about this shit. Okay, so watching the first episode, I had no idea this took place on Mars or even in our solar system or even like connected to like our planet. I had no idea that she was an android.
Yes. I think
I didn't,
everyone is
I didn't know that
human
she was hostile to the government.
Maybe some other species, Neon or something like
that.
Yeah,
I thought she was an alien.
Yeah. Because they all needs to inject nectar in their body to stay alive.
Yeah, otherwise they cease to function.
Yes. And then this the fight between two Power Rangers, I guess, broke out.
Yeah, you see two of them fight in the first episode, and it just. The fight was interesting. It was again beautifully
it's
animated.
Okay. Yes, it's beautiful,
but the show wasn't holding.
I had
no idea what's going on.
Yeah, you just don't know what's going on. Yes,
and it's not like, well, there's mysteries to unfold. It's like, no, you threw me into a world with no explanation at all. I don't know where we are. I don't know what's going down. Nothing.
I mean, sometimes it's okay, but in this show, it just doesn't really attract us to watch more of it, you know? It is just
like
what just
the fight
happened
is there? The only thing. The fight was the only thing that gave you that.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know. The story is just I don't know what just happened. You know, this is the WTF moment over here, man. What is this show is about? And we need to rely on the synopsis to know what's going on. And even the synopsis doesn't really explain what's going on with the show, I guess. Yeah, so this one, a 5.
Oh, sorry, did we even score the show?
No.
We didn't.
Yes.
I'm with you on a 5, like maybe a 4.5, but no more than that.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but it lacks content.
Context.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah. So that's it. Nothing more to explain about the show.
Honestly, I had high hopes for it too. Like I saw like some clips, and I was like, "Oh, this is gonna be good." Nah, it was wasn't it with all that.
Hmm.
Okay, number 11.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Yeah. The Unwanted Undead Adventurer, Nozomaru Fushinobu Kensha. There's a lot of shows.
The Spy.
All right, let's keep it up. Energy up. Right. Ren Fine, a 25-year-old adventurer, has been hacking away at monsters for a decade. Without much talent for the job, Ren finds himself stuck hunting slimes and goblins for meager amounts of coins every day. Little does he know, all of this is about to change when he comes across a seemingly undiscovered path in the Water Moon Dungeon. What awaits him at the center of the path, however, is neither treasure nor riches, but a legendary dragon that wastes no time swallowing him whole. Waking up after a short time later, Rent finds himself not quite dead, but not very alive either. He is nothing more than a pile of bones. Armed with nothing but his trusty sword, tool belt, and ghoulish new looks, Rent sets off on a quest as a newly reborn skeleton to achieve existential evolution, hoping to one day return to civilization with a more human form. Will Rent succeed, or will the dungeon consume him for the rest of his undeath? That is the Unwanted Undead Adventurer. Mats, what did you score this one?
I will give it a 7 because this is funny.
Wow! See, and this was the gag show I threw in.
Oh my. All right.
I threw this show in specifically to fuck with you because you hate all the skull shows.
Not that I hated him. It just became monotonous, you know?
Right. That's the whole reason I threw it in. It was like, oh, Einzel Ghoul Part 2. That's all I fucking heard was Skeleton Knight.
Oh, yeah, the Skeleton Knight sucks. I hate Skeleton Knight.
Skeleton Knight was good. Shut up.
But this one, he didn't remain a skeleton that long. All right. He starts to evolve. That is the part that I enjoy the most. So, what is this called?
I'll give this one a 7.
I'll give All it a right, seven. That's fair. This reminded me of the spider, I guess. Am I a spider or so? It's kind of like that.
As a spider.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And the moment he turns into the ghoul and he tried to speak, that broke me, man. Konnichiwa! Konnichiwa!
Yeah, the comedy in here was good. The comedy was good. This show deserves some points, man.
Yeah, the story is okay too. I mean, it is not like he is unwanted. He is just a mediocre adventurer. He is not that strong, but he is not that weak. He's just going into the dungeon solo most of the time because nobody wants to party with him. And try to survive the daily routine and stuff. And then he suddenly encounter like a secret passageway in the fully explored dungeon. And he thought to himself, I can just go back and report this to the guild and get some money out of it. But let's see how it goes in there. And then he counted a dragon.
And the dragon was like, oh, lunch.
Lunch. And he died. And he becomes a skeleton. Not for long, though. If he remains the skeleton the whole way through, maybe I will hate this show. But he starts to evolve. That's the charm of the show. And he wants to become human again so that he can return to the society, I guess. And his goal is to become like a vampire. And I couldn't wait to see him evolve into like a vampire, like a proper human.
Yeah, I want to see where they're going to take this. It can go in some very weird places. I'm interested to see how it winds up. It's definitely funny.
Yes, yeah. He just like give a blessing to the bread because who knows that he is going to eat the bread someday.
Like someday I'll eat the bread. Someday.
Someday he will eat the bread. But so far, yeah, this is one of those isekai. I know we have seen this plenty of time, but when the comedy is good, I think I can still watch this show. Maybe like a contender for Final Flash, maybe?
Definitely a contender. For Final Flash.
All right. So we have like a couple more of the show. So let's move on.
We've got five more. We can make it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next we've got The Strongest Tanks Labyrinth Raids. I'm not reading the Japanese title. It's too damn long. Run as a tank of the Heroes Party and is said to have the highest defense ever in history. The party often does labyrinth raids, but to Run, it means more than just a raid. To cure his beloved sister's illness, he is in search for the wish-granting treasure that might be hidden in those labyrinths. But one day, the arrogant hero kicks him from the party after an unsuccessful raid attempt, blaming it on his skills, who effect he is still unaware of. With nowhere else to go and nothing to do, he decides to return to his hometown, where his sister is waiting. On his way there, he saves a girl who is being attacked by a monster. Unexpectedly, this girl has an extremely rare skill called appraisal. Thanks to her skill, Rudd is able to discover the truth behind his unknown skills, which turns out to be very powerful. With a defense of 9,999 and powerful skills, thus begins the adventure of the strongest tank, Rudd. Mamats, what did you score this one?
I would give this one a 6.
I'll rock a 6.5 on this one.
I mean, this is the third iteration of the like vanishing from the Heroes Party kind of.
Yeah, thing. Banished from the Heroes Party, and I went to live a quiet life. Shit. Yeah.
It's, yeah.
The trope is showing hard.
I mean, this guy is super strong. But just because of the main hero that doesn't like this guy, he wants to kick this guy out.
Well, no, he kicked. So the main hero kicked him because he's supposed to be able to tank hits. So his shield skill is supposed to be unbreakable and it's supposed to let him take a ton of damage. Yeah. But the skill part of his shield keeps turning off and he can't figure out why. And the reason is explained in episode one. So a spoiler, but you're not going to listen to us talk about one episode and decide if you're going to watch the show or not. Watch the show.
Yeah.
The reason that his skill turns off is because the shield, essentially he has a physical shield and he has an energy shield. So think of like a mana shield. His mana shield keeps track of his entire party. If any one of his party members' mana shield that they all have one, but theirs are normally a lot weaker, if they start going down, his shield will buff them at the cost of him. So if everyone else has 10 and he has 100, if they get down to 5, he goes from 100 to 95 and they go back up to 10. And that keeps happening as everyone else is accidentally taking damage until he gets down to 0 and his magic shield turns off. That's the problem. He didn't know about that skill because it's an unknown skill in his tree. So he has it, but he couldn't see what it was. So that's why the hero kicked him, because he thought, well, your shield's just unreliable. It's like, no, you keep tanking, you keep getting hit like a bitch. That's why my shield turned off, because I keep protecting your punk ass.
Yes.
So, but it's going to be another, it's going to be another situation where it's like, hey, you want to come back to the party? And it's going to be the exact same thing again. It's going to be the exact same thing again. It's it's potentially interesting enough for me to watch. I might, I'm probably going to give it a 3-episode treatment. It wasn't egregious. It wasn't terrible. I think I can definitely watch this as just something to entertain myself with. But I don't think it's going to be like a great, like one of the greatest shows this season.
Yeah, I mean, it will become like just like the other like Banishing Heroes Party kind of deal. He will go to an adventure with this humongous girl, I guess, and just enjoy themselves throughout the adventure.
That's it. They'll go and they'll make new friends, and he'll start raiding again, and he'll find the treasure he's looking for, blah, blah, blah.
And then at the end, they will encounter the hero's party, and the hero party will invite him again. Hmm, kind of like that. Yeah, I can see it from far away. So it's an okay show. Yeah, it's an okay show, but yeah, the tropes is, I guess, already like play out too much.
Tropes are strong.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. All right.
Next one. Next we got Mr. Villain's Day Off. Kyujitsu no Warumono-san. As a member of a malevolent organization, the general is tasked with invading Earth and wiping out humanity. Even an extraterrestrial being like him, however, needs a chance to rest. Not even the Rangers, a team solely dedicated to defeating the general and his colleagues, will stand in the way of him visiting pandas at the zoo, buying ice cream at the convenience store, and enjoying his well-deserved day off from committing evil deeds. That is a synopsis for my Mr. Villain's Day Off. Mamats, what did you score this show?
I will give this one a 6 as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising. I gave the show like it. I'm gonna give it an eight.
I know you would give that kind of score, because this is kind of like the House Husband, and you know how I feel about the House Husband one.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't think about the comparison. I did not think about the comparison at all. You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
This is very much like House Husband. I fucking loved House Husband. You did not like it at all. That is fair. That is fair, bro. That's fair.
I mean, some of the comedy in there is okay. I love when he's trying to buy an ice cream, but the flavor that he likes is replaced with the like really exclusive one, and then
the strawberry mochi.
Yes, and the girl, convenience store girl, try to like make him try to taste it. And yeah, I like that one. I mean, the panda one is kind of stupid. Okay. And I love the lost kid one. Even though the lost kid is just the other ranger, I guess.
Yeah, they're actual rangers.
Yeah. So, okay. House Husband vibe. This is not really my type of comedy. I know Shannon would enjoy this one so much. I know why. I don't really question his scoring on this one, because I know. Yeah.
All right, fine. Let's move on. All right. Next, we've got Sengoku Yoko. The world is divided into two factions, humans and monsters called Katawara. Despite being a Katawara, Tama loves humans and vows to protect them from evil, even if it means fighting her own kind. Her brother Jinka, however, hates humans, despite mostly being one. The siblings are joined by a cowardly swordsman named Shinsuke, who wants to learn how to become strong. When the group uncovers a plot to experiment on humans and transform them into monsters, they vow to defeat whoever is behind it, even if it means battling an entire army of warriors. The people they meet, places they see, and the creatures they battle will be legendary. That is a synopsis for Sengoku Yoko. Would you score this one, bro?
Let's see. I don't know, 5.5, 6 maybe?
I'll rock a 5.5.
Yeah.
It's still too, this is another one where it's still too early to really get a solid read on it. And side note, so many episodes this season ended on like cliffhangers for the first episode. Stop that shit. Stop it. I'm trying to get a read on your fucking show. Okay? I don't need cliffhangers episode one. I don't need it. I want to come back. I'm going to come back. I don't need a cliffhanger. Just end the show on a logical point, man. Damn.
I guess the girl is quite annoying, I guess. She's trying to be funny, but they are forcing the comedy bit, I guess. The fight is okay. The magic and stuff, like, but maybe it took place in the like Edo era, I guess, in the like Sengoku era or something like that. That really throws me off, or maybe like I started hating the show. Maybe, I don't know. Even the guy who's training to become like a swordsman is annoying, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely, no question about that. Yeah, the show just wasn't a strong. It just wasn't a strong contender for me.
Yeah, we know it's about like trying to take down the evil doers or something like that, but I don't know, it like context again. It's just there, you know? It is slightly better than Metallic Roach over there, I guess.
Slightly better.
Slightly better.
All right, let's move on to our second to last one. We in the home stretch, y'all. Next, we've got this fucking show. Tis time for torture, princess. Hime-sama Goman no Jikan desa. No, desa. Jikan des. Fuck desa. I know better than that. Since it still would be pissed. My pronunciation is not the best, but I know better than that, goddammit. All right. Synopsis goes like this. The princess who's been held captive by the Demon Lord's army is scheduled to be executed by the Demon Lord's relentless torture. That is not at all what this fucking show is about.
Quote unquote torture, all right? Quote unquote.
Quote unquote torture, but that's not what the show is even about. So you have the princess and captain of the Third Legion or some shit like that.
Yeah.
She gets captured and they're like torturing her for information, but it's not like true torture. It's like they bring out an Iron Maiden, open it up, and it's fucking toast inside.
No.
And she gets fucking bribed with toast. That's what this show is about. Mamats, I need you to talk about this show for a minute. I need to collect my thoughts.
All right. I will give it like 7.5. I love this show. This is the proper like food anime, I guess, if you want to call it that. So far, they bribe this princess with food, and it is brilliant. The way they show us the toast, the way like the executioner like biting into the toast, the crunch that the toast makes. Oh, it is so amazing. This is very well done. I think this kind of like foodgasm should have been in the Delicious in Dungeon show, in my opinion. But yeah, the foodgasm, the I guess how they presented the food, it's Oh, great. I love the show so much. And this princess is secretly like a nerd, I guess. Even though they show us like how cool this princess is while battling the whole thing. But after the credit, I guess, they show us what really happened during the battle. The princess just want to go home and continue playing games. So, in a way, this princess is like a spoiled one. She just literally giving out so much information about the country because of the food. And the Demon Lord, despite having all the information about the country, thinks that that the demon army cannot win despite having all the information that they extracted from the princess.
Well, no, they're not saying that they can't win. It's that the demon lord is like, nah, I'm afraid to go up against that weapon. We're not gonna do that. Bring me something else. Like, he just refuses to go to war.
Yes, that's the problem. And I love how innovative or how they came up with all the torture nonsense in here, man. It is
Honestly,
great.
like. Okay, so I scored this. I didn't give him my score. I scored this one a four. Yeah.
Wow, bro.
While I did, hear me out.
Was
Hear me out.
that Metallic Rouge? Really? Oh.
I'll explain why. I'll explain why. The tortures to me were dumb.
Yes, it's supposed to be dumb.
Yes, but not that dumb. So, my thing is, I was expecting stupid, but I was expecting the kind of stupid like, oh, here's deep like here's the thing that'll kill a demon, and it's like pudding. And then they're trying to torture her with pudding, and she's like, oh no, the pudding, and just goes to town on the pudding. Like, I
Yes.
was expecting something like that.
right.
This character is so weak-willed, it annoys me.
The princess is spoiled princess. What do you expect? But the torturer is the best one.
The torturer was good. I'm not gonna argue that. The torturer was good. But the rest of it is just no. I just couldn't.
And all the hope that the assistant commander has towards the
All of it.
all gone. Oh my God, I love this show so much, man. I will continue watching this show.
You can have that one. I'm good.
Oh my God. All right. So the last one, I guess.
All right, that brings us to the final show that we're reviewing for First Flash for Winter 2024. And I know y'all didn't think we was gonna let this one slip through the cracks. The final show we're talking about is Solo Leveling. Ore Dake Level Up Nanken. Okay? For those of you who don't know about this show, this is one of the most hyped shows for 2024. We had to review this show. Now, Mamats, did you read the manga or the manhwa, whatever the source material was?
No.
Okay, neither did I. We are going into this zero hyped up, okay? We have no preconceptions about this show. The synopsis goes like this. 10 years ago, the gate appeared and connected the real world with the realm of magic and monsters. To combat these vile beasts, ordinary people received superhuman powers and became known as hunters. 20-year-old Sung Jinwoo is one such hunter, but he is known as the world's weakest, owing to his pathetic power compared to even a measly E rank. Still, he hunts monsters tirelessly in low-rank gates to pay for his mother's medical bills. However, this miserable lifestyle changes when Jinwoo, believing himself to be the only one left to die in a mission gone terribly wrong, awakens in a hospital 3 days later to find a mysterious screen floating in front of him. The quest log demands that Jinwoo completes an unrealistic and intense training program or face an appropriate penalty. Initially reluctant to comply because of the quest's rigor, Jinwoo soon finds that it may just transform him into one of the world's most fearsome hunters. That's the synopsis for Solo Leveling.
So the synopsis spoiled everything, I guess.
Because the synopsis that is not spoils happening. Episode 2.
Yeah.
the synopsis tells you more than the first episode.
Yeah. Because we don't see any of the synopsis, what the synopsis tell us, I guess.
We don't see nothing. A damn bit.
Yep.
What did you score the show, bro?
I don't read the synopsis, so I don't know what I'm going into. 5.5.
Wow. I knew a little bit. I read like the first paragraph and that was it. So for when I picked the show, I'll give it a... I'm going to give it a 6.5 for now.
Wow. Pretty high.
The reason I gave it a 6.5...
Despite
I'm gonna give it a six. The reason I scored this show so low is again the cliffhanger bullshit that is rampant with this season. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Everybody's ending on a goddamn cliffhanger. Two, no idea what the fuck is going on yet.
Yep.
Literally. Cool. You're hunters. You go into dungeons. You wind up in a dungeon that's supposed to be easy. You find a secret path that wasn't supposed to be there. This sounds familiar. You go into the fucking thing, and you wind up in a room with giant fucking statues. I could immediately told you, looking at the fucking statues, don't go in that room. But no, they walked in the room. And then half the people got killed instantly by, like, a fucking laser beam. And now, that's it. That's how the episode ends. It's cliffhanger. Yeah. Don't nobody fuck going on.
Yeah.
I know nothing about what the show is about in this first episode. The synopsis tells me what happens in episode 2.
I guess. This is supposed to have like a 40-minute long first episode. I think that should have been the thing. But they insist of like giving us half of it.
It should have been a full hour first episode, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so far, this I think the whole thing is just stupid. I mean, it is not like the dungeon is the only thing that they have there. They have like the proper city, government and stuff. And this dude, despite knowing that he's very weak and not, I guess, what do you call that? Not strong enough to become a hunter, still becomes a hunter and go down there. He could have choose another job in that world. He could have become like a garbage man or something like that, you know. And yeah, he's become a hunter with the like broken ass shoe and a very cheap knife, I guess. And like a healer girl that really is into him so much. Yeah, that's it. I know it is super hype. I have my biases, I guess, towards like a very hype show. I don't know what will happen next. I don't read the synopsis. From the synopsis, I guess it will become like a great, like Arufureta kind of stuff, where he is the only one survive and he's going to become strong some way or another, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. And the typical fantasy magic kind of deal, I guess. Yeah. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I'm gonna get through the show. I'm probably gonna watch again. I'm saying this a lot. It's getting 3 episodes, and then I'll go from there. But right now, it is on the low man on the totem pole as far as what came out this season.
Yeah, maybe everybody and their mom will review the show.
Oh, absolutely they will. And I'm sure they're all going to rate it an 8 or a 9 or a 10, but I'm sure they've also read the source material. Yes. I'm going off from a clean slate entirely.
Really?
From a perfectly clean slate, no preconceived notions about the show.
No.
I'm not invested because I don't know what's going on. And yeah, it was a crazy scene when everybody got fucking lasered. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know enough to be like, is this unusual?
Yeah. I mean, we have seen like a girl just being tortured limb by limb by a robot right there in Ishora. And it is pretty great. And here's like solo leveling. Everyone just die and one survive somehow. Yeah, I don't know. And by the way, if you still don't know, this is coming from like a manhwa, Korean manga, I guess. So this is the adaptation of that. I don't know. I don't know what to expect out of it. Let the hype just become hype, I guess, and let's see how it goes from there.
Yeah, hype is hype. Talk to me when the show is where it needs to be.
Yeah, from the looks of it, it will be like quite a long show, not like a 12-episode show. I highly doubt it, man.
No, it's probably going to be a long one.
Yeah. All right, so that's it. That is 16 of the our first Flash Marathon Winter 2024 anime. So we need to decide a show that will become like our final Flash at the end of the season, man. What do you think?
Ooh.
We don't give many shows a very high score.
No, there were some bangers in here, but there was also some bad ones. So let's run through this list real quick, and then I'll delete the names where we like, no, we're not doing that. Okay. So Chain Soldier, yes or no?
Maybe.
Delicious in Dungeon.
Nope.
Okay. Hokkaido Girls Are Super Adorable.
Yes.
Okay, so we got a yes for that one. We've got a maybe for Chain Soldier. My instant death ability.
Nope.
The Witch and the Beast.
Nah.
The Wrong Way to Use Healing Magic.
Maybe.
I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
Because again, same reason I can't put Solo Leveling. I don't know anything about the show.
All right.
So until we get more, I can't say yes or no to that. So it can't be. Maybe at the end of the season or next season we'll review it. But as far as being Final Flash, I gotta say it's out. Okay. Gushing Over Magical Girls.
Yes.
You already said we won't get too much heat for reviewing that as a Final Flash, bro.
Just put it in there.
Fine, it'll be a maybe. Tales of Wedding Rings.
No.
No?
No.
Ishura.
Yes.
Yep. No.
Oh my.
No.
Ishura is okay.
Ishura was not okay.
Oh.
Don't lie to the viewers.
Oh. All right.
Metallic Rouge.
Nope.
No. Unwanted Undead Adventure.
Yes.
The Strongest Tank.
Nope.
Strongest Tank is no. Mr. Villain. No, okay, I'm just going to delete Mr. Villain.
No.
Sengoku Yoko.
No.
Tis Time for Torture. No.
Yes. No, we're not yes.
No. 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 I've already let you delete some of the ones that I was like, oh, we can do that. Right. No, and I just put up no fight.
That's fair. That's fair. No Mr. Villain, no Princess then. Okay, all
right. Right, that's fair. All right, so we got two yeses and two maybes. So Chain Soldier is a maybe. Hokkaido Gals is a yes. Gushing is a maybe. And Unwanted Undead is a yes. I'm fine with Unwanted Undead, Hokkaido Gals, or Chain Soldier.
Why not the Magical Girl one?
Man, I gotta watch this shit at work with my coworkers and my boss. My boss is chill. I don't know if he's that chill.
I don't know. Maybe he is into it too.
If he tell. Is, I don't need to know that.
I mean, just think of it. This is super different than our usual isekai that we review every single time of the Final Flash, right?
Okay, all of these are different than our standard isekai, bro. None of these are an isekai. We had one isekai this season. I gave you diversity. Even the Final Flash listings is diverse. Okay, we got Chain Soldier, we got Hokkaido Gals, we got Gushing Over Magical Girls, we got Unwanted Undead Adventurer. Come on, man. You can't ask for a better lineup than this as far as diversity goes.
Okay, let me ask this. What do you think of S death?
Well, when I think about S death,
yes.
S death is the kind of waifu that you would have a wonderful 15 minutes of fun with before she fucking murks you for disappointing her.
Yeah. That is Chain Soldier, I guess.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. What do you think about watching like slice of life romance anyway?
You know, I'm fine. We have, you know, I don't think we've ever done a slice of life romance for a Final Flash, have we?
No, not really.
So I'm down for, I say let's stick with the yeses. Hokkaido right. Gals or Undead Unwanted?
Yeah, when you put it that way, I mean, yeah, the skeleton is just like a spider, right? But
it's not like a spider. I don't know about that.
It's funny. I love that the skeleton one, but that is the one that we have watched before. The trope and everything. Same goes for the gear one. This is hard. Going for the comedy beat alone.
Hold up.
All
right. Hold on. No, we're gonna make it simple. We're gonna let the power of the internet decide. Random right. Number generator.
Again.
1 through 4. They are in order as follows. 1 is Chain Soldier. 2 is Hokkaido. 3 is Gushing. 4 is Unwanted Undead. Okay?
All right. Let number 3 becomes number 1.
3, 2, 1.
Gushing.
We have an answer. We have an answer.
All right.
Any guesses?
No.
The answer to our wonderful question of what will be our final flash is... The Unwanted Undead Adventurer.
Oh my. All right. The random number generator has spoken. So we will stick with that one. Even though I really want to watch Gushing over Magical Girl.
I tell you what. There's always next season. We gotta fill the ranks for next season. My next pick is actually going to be one from last season as it is. So.
All right. So, what are we going to watch next?
I'm going to let you pick between two. I'll let you pick between two. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a Returner's Magic Should Be Special. That or one. Berserk of Gluttony.
Why?
Why?
The Returner's Magic one. Why?
It was on the list.
I thought we hated that one.
Returner's Magic? No, I didn't hate it. You hated it.
Yeah.
That's not unusual.
I mean, the Gluttony one is okay. But still, I hated them. Well, just why? Why you did this to me, man? There are so many shows out there.
Suck it up. My pick. Suck it up and decide.
All right, let's go with the Gluttony one. I would rather watch the Gluttony one rather than the Returns Magic.
Oh. There you have it, folks. We are watching Berserk of Gluttony next.
Oh, my. All right, so our final flash will be the Unwanted Skeleton Adventurer, I guess. And next week, we are going to watch Berserk of Gluttony or something.
Berserk of Gluttony, yes.
So, if you have any comment or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on the internet. Where can people find us on the internet, Shannon?
Of course, you can always find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast, or shoot us an email, shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and also if you have any say towards our pick of the Final Flash this season, you can always hit us up. Comment why our pick are wrong. Why we should choose Solo Leveling, for God's sake. We would always want to hear from you guys. All right, so I guess that's it. That is the end of our first Flash Marathon of Winter 2024 anime. I guess let's end the podcast like usual. Yeah, be safe out there, people, and please don't die.
You know, there's always time, as you know, as I always say, there's always time for opi. I just don't know if it should be opi from magical girls and skimpy outfits.
Oh, no.
Never thought I'd hear myself say those words.
All right. don't make it weird, man. All right, let's see.
It was already weird.
Shiitake.
Shiitake. Don't make it weird.
All right.
I'm the weird one. The fuck?